For a scripture reading this morning, I think you'll recognize the words, for we used the same reading for last week. And then, surprisingly, Bob used half of it this morning for the communion. So hopefully there's a message in here for each one of us. So we look at John chapter 17 with the high priestly prayer of Jesus. We usually describe the Gospel of John as emphasizing Jesus as the Son of God. For he is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the heaven-sent bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, and the true vine. But he's also the way, the truth, and the life. For we know he is our resurrection and the life. And Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king. So for context, I read the last line, or last couple lines, of John 16 before I read John 17, verses 1 to 26. And here we will consider Jesus' role as our great high priest. So Jesus said here, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate them, and they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they are also may be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. These are the words of Jesus. It's recorded in the book for us to see and be reminded that he continues to intercede for us in the throne room of heaven. So as we eagerly wait for his return as our coming king to rule and reign, we are reminded of what he desires of us in a message that Raymond will share titled, Share and Share Alike.
A group of tourists were traveling through Iceland on a bus tour out of Reykjavik, the capital, and they stopped near a volcanic field in the southern Icelandic field of Elgja Canyon. Soon after they returned to the bus, there was a word of a missing person. She was described as a young Asian woman with an excellent English accent, and they gave details as to what she was wearing. The search began in the early evening, and as soon as the evening began to darken, the Coast Guard prepared a helicopter to find her. But the search was called off at 11 a.m. when it became clear that the missing woman was, in fact, accounted for, and in fact, a part of the search party. She was searching for herself. You see, when the bus reached the canyon, the woman changed her clothes, and when she returned to the bus, nobody recognized her. Even she did not recognize the description of herself as she joined the search party. A local authority said, quote, she had no idea that she was missing. So, you know, the people who got on Twitter right away. Gabriel says this, I love it. This would be so many people I know. Or Steve, when they got back to the bus, they should have asked everyone who was present to raise their hands. Or Jared, who said, aren't we all still searching for ourselves? You've heard some people, either on TV or out of fun, said, I went to the beach to find myself, or I went to the desert, or I went to the wilderness to find myself. Even Christians, sometimes. I remember in the 90s, Michael W. Smith had some of these worship songs, and one of them in particular says, this becoming is harder than it seems. It feels like I'm looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world. And even this week, a singer, a Christian singer, Lauren Daigle, hit the 63rd week at the top, at number one. And it's a record, not just a record of recording, but it's a record that she broke for 63 weeks. And she writes this, I keep fighting voices in my mind that say, I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. She goes on to sing about Jesus and what Jesus says about her. And then she ends with this, and I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me in you, I find my worth. In you, I find my identity. I think we sang some of those songs this morning. You know me by now. I may have mentioned to some of you I was a cop before. I was a dad. I am a dad. I'm a grandpa. I'm a little bit suspicious sometimes. I sometimes even go off the rails and look for things that may not be even be there, but I'm very suspicious at times about this very thing right here called existentialism. I'll let the word, you know, describe it for us. Let's bring it down to where we can understand it. It's a philosophy or a theory or approach which emphasizes the existence of the individual person as a free and responsible agent determining their own development through acts of the will. Existentialism is a philosophy that emphasizes individual existence, freedom, and choice. It is the view that humans, again, define their own meaning in life and try to make rational decisions despite existing in an irrational universe. Now, this is going on. I have found it in myself. Have you found this in yourself? When I was young in particular, but it's still there. Kind of hangs on to you, like Hebrews says, a weight that needs to be thrown off. But it's there. Like, let's see, this is how I can reason things out in my life and who I am, and so I can make decisions on this. But yet, there's this Lord who has determined to create us and to sustain us and to tell us who we are and those kinds of things. 2 Timothy says, for people will become lovers of self. And Romans 1, haters of God, the Creator who says who we are. And Philippians 2, the others look after their own interest and not that of Jesus Christ. So this, even in this morning's Sunday school lesson, was about pride. It is about what I think and what I want and what I know. And that is the number one thing that we fight against. And as teachers of the gospel, I think in particular, and you know, fathers and mothers and stuff, we see this stuff in our kids, don't we? And in ourselves. However, Jesus does say something about us. The Father does say something about us, and he has something for us. And did you realize that when he came to save us, that it was simply not to glorify God, although that is the primary source, but it's something that he wanted. He wants something. He just doesn't want us broken. He wants us, but he doesn't want us the way we want us. He wants us the way we should be. The singer said, I believe in everything you say, including about me. You define my meaning. And that's what we need to talk about. See, sometimes we want to stir away from this. I want to stir away from this. The songs are about us today, and the whole thing is about us today, and it's about me and my rights. And yet we can't go so far as to say, in the Lord's mind, we don't matter, because that is a lie. And that is a lack of faith. When you say you don't matter, can at the same breath you say, I am the son or daughter of the Lord? Can we say that and say I don't matter? We simply have to put it in perspective of the gospel. Jesus went to a wedding because he cared. He was invited and he cared. And he did a miracle for them because they needed wine. So he did something nice for them. He created for them. He went to a paralyzed man who didn't believe afterwards even. And he helped the man so that he would come, but he didn't come. He helped the blind man who did come. He helped the crippled men and women. He went to the lonely woman at the well. And she's asking about herself and we and us. And Jesus cared. And if we can't tell people that Jesus cares, he cares for you. It's easy to tell kids that, but sometimes we don't want to tell adults that. It's like, you know, it's not about you. It's not about you. But it has to do with you. It has everything to do with you between Jesus Christ and you. Now, Jesus came and he glorified the Father on earth. He manifested the Lord's name, Yahweh's name. I have given them your words. I kept them and have guarded them. I'm sending them into the world. I've given them your glory. I made known to them your name. And then he says, I will continue to do that. Because he has this relationship with the Father. He's in love with his Father. And the Father is in love with him. And they have this unbreakable bond, this Father-Son relationship. And so the Father, as the Son, only wants one thing: to do the will of the Father. And so he did exactly what the Father asked him. Did you know there's a bunch of numbers of sevens in John? There was seven miracles. You remember, we've mentioned some of those. There's seven disciples named. There's seven other men named. There's seven women. There's seven confessions of faith. There's seven waters. But in John, there's seven equals in working. Jesus is equal in working with God, in knowing God, each other, and equal in resurrecting power, equal in judging, equal in honor, equal in regenerating, and equal in self-existence. And so this unity got together and said, okay, something's broken. It's not like us anymore. The Father with the Son, and the Son with the Father, and the Spirit, and they're one. And he's going to pray, let them be one as we are one. But something's broken. And he wants to share that oneness. See, we think about we're going to climb into heaven someday, we're going to get up there, and we're going to be, you know, doing whatever. There is a complete unity and oneness that the Lord wants, and it's so very hard to grasp. But we can see a sense of it between the relationship that the Father has with the Son. That is how it will be, and in fact, in partiality between you and the Lord right now. The relationship that they had is shared with you and me. And he wants to share. In fact, he came to die on a cross, give his life a ransom for many, so that he could share and share alike. This is an amazing God we serve. All the other gods of it, the ancient world, and even today, Allah, you're not going to find this sharing with them. You're not going to find it with them. You can't have that kind of sharing there. So Jesus came to do seven miracles. Now, he did more, but some in particular, in a progressive way, to reveal God, to reveal the Father. When he did those, there was a revelation of the glory of God. Not just the power and the majesty, but also the love and the caring and all that God is. The friendship love, the agape love, all of this, so that he could unify the earth, if they would, and Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't need anything. He doesn't need anything or anyone else, and yet he wants. Isn't this interesting? He wants you and me. He wants to share with us. He came as a man to do God things, to bring man into God's glory. Into God's glory. We just sang that this morning, didn't we? Bring many sons to glory. Thank you, Roger, again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The song that we sang, to bring many sons to glory, daughters as well, by the way. And so we come to this. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, please, let's not get tired of reading this, because there's so much in this chapter 17. We could study this for months, and maybe we should individually. But he's lifted his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come, and here's what we want to focus on today. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. That's what he starts this prayer with. He lifts his eyes up to the mutual relationship and unity of him and his Father, and said, let's make sure that we establish this one thing first. That we, again, the Lord's Prayer, your will on earth as it is in heaven. And it's this way in heaven. They are glorified in unity in heaven. And he wants it done on earth. And now he's saying, on earth, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Let's stop there for a second. The end of this is that Jesus dies. The end of this is that the final destination on earth is that Jesus dies before his resurrection and glorified. He must die to make the rest happen. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that we just step into kingdom and we eat, drink, and be merry. Look at this. This is interesting. This is eternal life, that they know you. This is eternal life, that they come back into a relationship with you. And we're going to look at that, what that looks like here in a little bit. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Because that is the right position. That is the right relationship in the universe. All other horrible relationships are going to be done away with. The separations, the hatred, all of those things, wars and those things are going to be done away with. And Jesus is going somewhere with this. And the next step is for him to be reunified with his Father. And in doing so, he will send the Spirit, which will unify you and me with him. It only happens that way. Besides, that's the first step. The second step is our death or the rapture. It's complete then, just like Jesus' life. He came down here. It wasn't complete until he died on the cross. And by the way, it wasn't complete until he raised from the dead. And once he raised from the dead, it is finished. It's over. Nobody can stop what's going on and will happen. For him to be glorified, for his Father to be glorified, and for you and I to share in the glory, not have his glory. We will be like him. We won't be him. We won't be little gods running around. But everything will be right in relationship with him, because the relationship is busted. I want to read here something interesting here. I'm in Exodus chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight." He sounds like Michael W. Smith. He sounds like you and me on a really terrible day. "Lord, I need your favor. Lord, you've given me this work and I know your name, but I'm in a position where I need to know you're with me. My place here." And so the Lord said, "Take a hike? It's not about you?" Watch what the Lord says. And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." He said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, I do not bring up, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us that we are distinct?" Isn't that interesting? Are you distinct? Is the church distinct? And the world is going to say, "You are a very arrogant people." And we're going to say, "You talk to the Lord. We're a kingdom of priests. We sing on his behalf. We bring offerings to him in whatever gift you give and do for him. That's your relationship, because he has unified you with the Father in the Spirit. And your and it says, is it not in your going with us that we are distinct? I and your people. No, watch. He says, me and them. Never, ever, ever think that you are less than anybody else in Christ. Ever. That's a lack of faith, and it's not true. You're just different. You just have different giftings. You have another road to walk than I do. Sometimes I wish I had yours. Sometimes I don't. When I find myself in the Lord, I don't. I want to finish the race that he gave me. I and your people from every other people on the face of the planet, you arrogant man. No. This is the work of the Father to bring a people in unity with him and to glorify himself in that people. Now, they go along and they fail to do that, right? So he said, okay, upon this rock I'll build my church. Remember the word rock as we go along here. Remember the name, the idea of the rock. Moses wanted to see his glory, his goodness. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. See the relationship? Moses said, please show me your glory. Share and share alike. I want to see your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. The goodness is his glory. Watch this now. His goodness is his love and mercy and righteousness and judgment, and all that God is his goodness. Because remember, God is good. And all the character of God is wrapped up in that word goodness. And I'm going to have it all pass before you. And I will proclaim my name before you, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will be merciful on whom I show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So in other words, and it says in the Hebrew, no man living can see me. In other words, you're on the earth, you're separated by this tent, and you can't see all of me, but I'm going to give you a glimpse. And by the way, don't we have a glimpse? And Jesus Christ came to show us the fullness of the Father, and we have a glimpse of it. And we only have a glimpse because we can't understand it. And he said that to the disciples. You can't understand it all. I'm going to go away. I'll send the Spirit. He will guide you in these things. But until eternity, there's this lack of understanding, if you will. The living shall not see me, but I will show you my goodness. Now in just the next chapter here, 34 verse 5. He says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed and the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. You want to know what the glory of God is? You know what? You want to know what's in the name of God? Mercy and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the guilty of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Can we leave out that last verse, please? Because that doesn't sound like goodness. But the problem is the separation. The problem is that God is consecrated, that word again. He's a separated person, and he wants us to be separated to him. And those who don't do that, he can't share his goodness with. God's glory refers to God's wonderful majesty and might, partialed out in nature and in the providence and the laws and the judgments and the things that we see on the earth, the visible. Romans 8 says we see his righteousness, which reflects his glory. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. The obvious question now, then, is who gets to see this goodness? And in seeing the goodness, we don't die. In seeing the goodness, in fact, to be able to see the goodness, we have been unified with him. We have been brought into a relationship with him, and we're able to see his goodness and partake of all that Christ has for us. What this goodness does not look like, in fact, what this sharing does not look like is this. Adam and Eve was sent out of the garden because they sinned. In chapter 19 of Exodus, the Lord said, put a boundary around the mountain. Set it apart as holy. Don't cross the line because those people do not believe. Exodus 40, you will screen the ark with the curtain. The glory is veiled because others don't believe. Romans 1, that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. His visible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen. But even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their thinking, and they exchanged the glory, there it is, the glory of the incorruptible God for creatures. So therefore, the Lord has sent a delusion. He has separated them because they wanted to be separated. So what does sharing the glory look like? By the way, in Ezekiel 10, the glory of God leaves the temple. In 1 Samuel, you remember Eli, the priest, was not taking care of his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And the ark the Philistines came and took the ark. And you remember Eli fell over dead. And Phinehas' wife was pregnant at the time. And she had a painful birth at the time, and you remember what she named him? Ichabod, for the glory of the Lord has left. So we get the separation thing, but what does it look like to share in the glory that the Lord says he has given us, he has given you? In Exodus 19 and 30, the priest and Aaron were to consecrate themselves to be separated unto the Lord. Joshua said to consecrate yourself to the Lord. So we have to be willing to do it. We have to be desiring to do it. We have to be desiring, like Michael W. Smith's song and Lauren's song. Lord, what does this look like? What is my life supposed to look like? So the Lord said, glorify me. Let me have the presence that I had before. And then in doing that, I will glorify you on earth. I have glorified you on earth. And the third portion of this is to share. To share what the Lord has for us. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Just stop there for a second now. Some people want to say, well, see, there's some he chooses and some he doesn't. Remember the whole concept of John. It is to believe. And if you believe, you're his. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given to me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And then jump to verse 17, sanctify them. The word is consecration. The word is setting them apart. The word is actually a bringing to him. Bring them to yourself. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent them into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself. There's that word again. I have set myself apart in the glory of the Father, that they also may be truly consecrated. Now, your Bibles are going to say in truth, but it is truly consecrated. It is by the word. We are sanctified in believing the word that Jesus Christ came and glorified the Father. But you are truly sanctified if that happens. And that's the concept here. That's the sharing. Now, watch this. You remember the day that you came to Christ, if you came to him past, you know, some, even I hear some kids that came at 3 and they remember. It's a strange concept to me. I came at 16 and I was still rebellious in some ways. But you remember the time when you believed the Lord and you owned it. You owned your belief. And then you remember the changes that happened in your life. You remember the guilt, and even to today, like this, I should not be doing this. I should not be acting this way. Why? Because you're consecrated. Because you're on holy ground. You're standing on the very ground of Jesus Christ. And you are his. And you are in him. You are in him. It's a unity that happens there. Now, watch. This is very lovely here. Psalm 133 by David. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like precious oil on the head running down on the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like a dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forever. This is glory. This is your sharing in glory. Why would David write this concerning brotherly love and then talk about Aaron? Because Aaron's the priest and he was consecrated to the Lord. And they poured oil on him so that he would be in unity with the Lord. He would be in his service and doing what the Lord asked. And that's what brotherly love looks like. That's what the kingdom looks like. And by the way, you're heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. You're related with Jesus and to him. And that thought and that life and that living and moving and having our being in that should look just like this. This is a wonderful consecration, a wonderful worship service, a wonderful being set apart, not just on Sunday morning. This is your life in him. Please, so many of us have been hurt. So there are so too many divorces, way too many divorces. There's way too many, you're not this and you're not that. There's way too much child abuse, and some of us have known that when we were young. And those tapes don't get erased. Do they? They don't get erased. They will be. But the Lord says, I am taking you from what you knew and the broken relationships and the broken world, and I'm going to share my glory with you so that when you get on the other side in this life, we start walking and enjoy sometimes and speaking of good things sometimes. Not all the time because we're still human, but we sure try. And we're sure finding our existence right there in Jesus Christ. I want to share this because this is who I am. This is my testimony because this is what he did for me. This is what he's doing for the church and with the church. What is he doing for the church and with the church? I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through his word, their word, that they may all be, there's the unity again, one. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. Now, wait now. Okay, grab your coffee and go to the river, because this is going to take a lot of understanding and believing. Lord, you got to be kidding me. Do you know my past? Do you know me? Do you know what a jerk I've been to my wife this last week? That's an example, okay? Do we know? And yet, do we know the fullness that is in Christ? Do you know what he's taking you, where he's taken you, and actually where he's already taken you? And we go, well, that's not me. That may be for you. That's not me. Yes, it is. In the belief that Christ has finished it because of all he did. Now, I'll finish with this. The only reason this is happening is because Jesus Christ did what he said he was going to do. He went and completed it, and he raised himself up, and the Father raised him up. There's that equality again. And he did that. He's going to fulfill the rest. He's going to bring you into glory, but he's going to give you glimpses of it now. And you're going to turn around and go, boy, I didn't act that way a year ago or when I was 10. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be loving and caring and shining your light. Let your love shine so that they may know you are in him. That's the idea. And it happens little by little until that day. He is sharing his glory, his goodness with you right now. If you believe, if you bow your head and say, it's not about me, Lord. It is about you. However, you've included me. I'm ready to go. But like Moses, I will not go unless you go with me. Please go with us. Lord, we love you today. We worship you today. We glorify your name today. There aren't enough words to talk about this chapter. What you are doing and praying here. As the priest that Aaron could not be. As the priest or the prophet that Moses could not be. As the son that Adam could not be. As the king David could not be. You are it, and you have done these things, Lord, on our behalf. For the glory of the Father, you've obeyed the Father's will, but you've done it for us so that we can share. We can share. Not your crown, but we can share the relationship that you have with the Father. Thank you so very much. I pray for every heart here. In fact, Lord, if I may, I'm talking to the people who are sitting in the pews here this morning. You feel less than. You have broken God's law, but just like the rest of us, there's the one boat of the guilty, and then there's the one boat of the ransomed and redeemed. And you, if you've believed in Jesus Christ, you have climbed into another boat. And Jesus has different waters for you and a different destination. And so if you have not believed this, I am asking that you just say a prayer, Lord, to the Lord, to forgive you of your unbelief, but to take you into a fullness and a belief of what Christ has for you. Lord, touch their hearts. Touch every heart here so that we can fully believe what you have done for us and are doing. We pray this in your holy name.